Topher's a jerk.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to No Rules, Just Mics, Rule Breakers. Happy Thursday, everybody. We are the No Rules radio show that's bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics you want to know. We are your No Rules host. I am Topher, and next to me I have my best friend Christian, and I also have Burson with us. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Excited to be back with No Rules, Just Mics, and Uncensored Radio family, and ready to get going. How are you doing today, Burson?
You know, I had a really long weekend. For those people that listened in last weekend, they know I did some tournament reffing for soccer. And, man, I had not ran in so long. I definitely paid for it.
That's awesome. Well, I hate to pry, but you posted on Facebook, therefore I get every opportunity to pry. So it sounded like you were going through a little bit of some rough struggles. Are things going okay? You don't have to divulge, but are things going okay?
Are you talking about the post earlier today?
Yes, that one.
Well, today marks, I had a question posed to me if this was a good thing or a bad thing, but today actually marks my 6-month anniversary for being finalized for my divorce. So I don't know if that's, like, I should be happy about it. I don't know if I should be sad about it. I don't know if it's a celebration to drink or if it's like a day to stay in. That's the mixed emotions behind it.
I gotcha. Was it? You're not on. I'm not interviewing you at all. But was it an amicable break or was it a bad thing or?
No, it was. Everything is okay. It's easy for me to talk about. It's not like a pink elephant in the room that I just try and avoid at all costs. I'll talk about it with anybody. So it's not a
okay.
Bad thing, no.
Okay. Well, good. So apparently I have, we are, one of our rule breakers, Christian, likes to steal other people's internet. I just found that out.
What?
It's kind of, oh yeah, I ladded your ass out.
What, he steals?
Steals people's internet. Like, he logs onto their Wi-Fi and stuff. I'm calling bullshit on that one. I'm going to have you arrested for, I don't know. Can you arrest somebody for stealing somebody else's internet?
No.
I'm
not hacking into a password-protected Wi-Fi and steal anybody's stuff that, you know. If Wi-Fi is open in a public place, like you go to a Starbucks, is that stealing their internet? You don't have to pay for it. It's open. So if
well,
you find internet that's just open, who knows? It could be city-free internet. We have that in Charleston in Waterfront Park. Did you know that? There is free internet provided by the city, free Wi-Fi, and a couple other places downtown. How am I supposed to know?
Maybe the neighbor down the street was just gracious enough to open up his Wi-Fi for everybody.
Exactly. Who am I to judge? It was an act of kindness. It was paying it forward.
Maybe we should get him on the show.
Yes.
Well, I don't
yes.
know
we
his
should,
name,
we should do that.
So I mean, I would love to, but I don't know who he is.
So you're stealing internet from somebody who you don't even know their first name. God, isn't that like a really bad one?
No. His first name's Roger. It was Roger's Wireless. That's what it said. But I don't know the last name or what house he lives in.
Oh, that's funny. If this is your guys' first time listening to us, we are part of the Uncensored Radio family. We are at www.myuncensoredradio.com. You can find us on iTunes via our podcast. You can find Christian, who is the Holy City Center in Charleston. It's holycitycenter.com. Christian, why don't you give us a little bit about what's going on in the Charleston area this week, because I think we have a caller.
All right, absolutely. Well, Charleston, you know, we're getting into the fall here. Still nice and warm. In fact, a beautiful day today. I was able to go to the wonderful Magnolia Plantation, which is one of the places who has ongoing activities this weekend. It's a beautiful place, a mile from my house. I couldn't believe how much property there was there and just beautiful animals and gardens and, believe it or not, beautiful-looking swamps. You know, it's just it's beautiful out there. But they're having some Halloween events at night. They have the family fright nights. You do like the hayride thing. And we saw some of the Halloween stuff hanging up during the day. Not very scary stuff, of course, but, you know, they probably have things jumping out of you in the dark. So it gets a little crazy, I'm sure. So one of the many Halloween events going on this weekend, and just wanted to give that place a plug since I was there earlier today and really enjoyed it. Outside of that, another family-friendly thing for those of you with the kiddos, Disney on Ice is at the Coliseum. So, again, if you have kids, a great family activity, I'm sure. For those of you without kids or don't have to get to your kids right away after work, Kitchen 208 is throwing a happy hour on the patio. I saw their menu. Looks like they got some good stuff from sliders and whatnot to drink specials, including the local Westbrook Brew, so be sure to see that. Lots of comedians this weekend. Lewis Black is at the Performing Arts Center. Tickets are still available. That's Friday night at 8. And then Chris Tucker, there's still some tickets available for him. He is on Saturday at 8, also at the Performing Arts Center. Outside of that, one thing I definitely want to mention is our Charleston Animal Society is having what they call Dogtoberfest. It's one of their biggest adoption events that they put on. It's all weekend. I think they continue it through October. They're trying to go to a no-kill facility, you know, so they won't be euthanizing any dogs or cats. And what they're trying to do is just get that way, I think, by next year. But they're doing such a great job now of finding all these pets homes and, you know, and not taking that unfortunate turn of having to put them to sleep. And but they get overloaded, and just in time for this big event, you know, they're just packed with animals right now. So if you're looking for a pet, be sure to go see them this weekend. And even after this weekend, I know it's a big decision. You shouldn't be just getting a dog on a whim or any other pet for that matter, but just keep it in your thoughts. They definitely could use it. And the other big event, of course, is the Southern Ground Music and Food Festival that's hosted by the Zac Brown Band, a two-day thing on Saturday and Sunday in Daniel Island. They're going to have Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue, which is an amazing group. I highly recommend you check them out. Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks is going to be there on one night. Jason Mraz, Fits in the Tantrums, just a really cool, diverse lineup. A lot of country flavor, but as you can see, some other non-country bands as well. Tickets still available for that as well. It's a two-day thing. You can go just one day if you want to. There's food, as you can tell from the title, and it should be a lot of fun. So that's what's going on. Plenty more that you can see on holycitycenter.com/events, running event page, not just for this weekend, but going well into next year already. There's lots of plans already up there. Be sure to check that out. So that's what's going on in Charleston, and it's over. I don't know if you're back yet or not, but if not, we will move into a topic. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
That's what's going on
in Charleston. So
that's awesome. I love that. You know what? The one thing that I love about Charleston is that we're not a big city by any means. We're definitely far from L.A. and Vegas and, you know, Chicago and New York and Miami. But, I mean, for such a small city, we have a huge, a very active city vibe. You know, there's a lot of people coming to Charleston. Charleston's becoming one of the big cities to go to. It's definitely, I think it's like in the top four of wedding destinations or whatever not. I'm really, really excited that Charleston's kind of this up-and-coming place. I mean, hell, we had American Idol here, we have The X Factor here, we have a lot of really cool bands and musicians and comedians coming our way. I'm really excited to see where Charleston goes, even in, like, the next 5 years. It's getting big, and I'm really excited about that. Are you working the season, Christian? That is what she said. Are you working the season?
I have a weird schedule. I'm working tomorrow during the day. I'm off Saturday. But then I got to work on Sunday. So it's kind of a weird thing where I can do stuff on Saturday but can't really, like, stay out late or, you know, it's just kind of a weird deal. But I will hopefully be doing something. The girlfriend and I had some plans to possibly go to Atlanta. They're doing a bull run, believe it or not, in Atlanta. And her dad is taking part in it. So we were going to go and watch him run. And then after they do the running of the bulls in this, like, park in Atlanta, they also do, like, the tomato fight like you see in Spain that they do. And then you can, like, drink and stuff. But we just couldn't make it work with our work schedule. So since we're not doing that, which would have been a really cool story, and for next week, hopefully we'll find something to do Saturday. And I'll hopefully cross paths with you, sir, if you want to nerd it up big time. And if I can convince Chelsea to go, there's a comic book show at the Sparrow, so we can drink some beers and check out comic books. Otherwise, there's some less. I know, right? Otherwise, there's some less nerdy things to do. But we'll see. I'm off Saturday, so hopefully, I'll be able to do something.
Okay, cool. Give me a call. And you know what? We should give Chris Burson a call. Aw, Chris Burson doesn't live in Charleston. You can give me a call. You can give me a call. I just won't show up. I do remember the time that I was out, and I did have plans with you, Topher, but somebody didn't show up. Gays before radio show host friends?
It doesn't rhyme. It's not true.
It was gay pride. I have my priority. I'm just saying. Sorry, not sorry.
So straight people are your priority.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. I'll take it.
Sorry, that's all right. All right, so I'm very excited that we have Matt Davis. And those of you who don't know Matt Davis is the guy who wrote our theme song. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris Burson to introduce him.
Mr. Matt Davis. Oh, well, I have known this character, oh, gosh, maybe, what, 7 years? I started working with him in retail down when I lived in Southern Illinois. And he was this crazy off-the-wall guy. He always had a joke, always had humor, always had a smile on his face. And he's just one of those guys that that I've kept in touch with even when I left Southern Illinois, when I went to Charleston, and now that I'm back in Central Illinois, he's still one of those guys that I can send a text message to or give a call to at any moment. And I know that he's going to listen to me. He's going to probably give me some shit back for what I have to tell him. But he's an overall really good guy. He's been, as far as I know, he's done music since right around the turn of the century. He started in 1999, and he's done a whole bunch of different stuff. He's done originals where he wrote his own music. I know he dabbled a bit in cover bands, which wasn't a highlight of his career, but he's done rock, punk, metal, ska, done everything from basement shows to big venues. And he really, I applaud him for being able to balance not only his musical life with his retail life, because I know in the near past he has actually taken a promotion within work, which has led him into management, which I applaud him for. But he's also had gotten married and has a 2-year-old daughter. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Matt Davis to our radio show. How are you doing, Matt?
Oh, I'm great, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Did I hit all the highlights? Was that good enough? Or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't talk about how incredibly handsome I am. And, you left out that dark part of my life where I was a prostitute. But, you know, that was probably for the better.
Well, I didn't want to bring it up.
Which is how we actually met. He always said we worked together. I mean, I was working a lot harder than he was. But
well,
we just say retail instead of hooking.
Huh? You were working the corner though, right?
Yeah. Well, I had to do what I had to do.
So one of the questions, I haven't had a chance to ask you, and I think this is a great venue for. But how did you actually get into music? What was your inspiration to break into that field?
Man, that's a harder question than I've ever been asked. Usually, it's like, how long you've been playing and stuff like that. Music for me, it's always been pretty cool. Like growing up, embarrassingly, I was really into like rap and R&B when I was younger, which I think everybody kind of does that. junior high when I'm old, so this is going to date me a little bit, but like Snoop Dogg and Criss Cross, because I wasn't really sure what, you know, real rap was when I was like in grade school and junior high. You know, I had like a mixtape that would have like a Snoop Dogg song on it and then like the Bartman on it. So, you know, early 90s kind of stuff. Really into that, and then got into like Boyz II Men and stuff like that. So this is early 90s. And so, you know, kind of learned rhythm and singing from that that area of music. And then in, goodness, 94, probably, I, you know, got into punk rock, learned about, you know, Rancid and NOFX and the Vandals and Bad Religion and stuff like that, and got really into that. I think, honestly, Green Day was probably the first band that, you know, turned me to that style, you know, they, you know, as far as popularity, because, you know, when you're young and in Southern Illinois, you don't know about punk rock until MTV puts something on, and then you find out about that, and you learn more, and then you find out Green Day are like, they're sellouts, and real punk rock is this, and you go to basement shows, and everybody's dirty and looks weird, and so, I, you know, got into that, and just got, I was, you know, real into the punk rock scene, you know, through high school, and into ska music, and ska was just like a funner version with horns and, you know, happier, and, you know, I had, like, my punk rock friends who were just like, punk is so punk, and I'm just like, yeah, but look, you can dance to this, so I did that. You know, musically progressed, you know, that punk, got back into punk rock, but, you know, more melodic and, I don't know, kind of like a darker, more Bayside Alkaline Trio kind of vibe, you know, where it was more about the story of the song. Like, it was always, like, for me, playing and writing original music was about telling stories, you know, but they were always silly stories because I was in the ska for a long time, so they're mostly jokes, you know. Every song was pretty much a punchline at that point. And then, you know, getting older and getting more in tune with your emotions, you kind of start to delve into more lyric-based music. So I kind of went there and did that for a while. Then after a while, you kind of, you keep growing, finding more things and learning different tunings, and played metal and played rock. I mean, you covered most of it, just a lot of musical genres that I've gone through. Started playing music seriously probably around 1999 in a ska band, doing goofy songs about Dakota Rings and Godzilla. And we actually did a Spice Girls cover, so that was fun.
No shit. Nice.
I was like, do I even dare ask what the song was?
It was Stop, which I still know the words to. And if it pops up on the radio, I can embarrassingly sing along. And I think I even probably remember some of the dance moves. So.
Oh, that is delicious. out of all the music that you've composed and performed, of course, other than our theme, what's your favorite?
Oh, God, no. I don't have any favorite other than your theme. Your theme is the greatest thing on the planet. It's, I have four
great
chords.
Answer. Great answer.
You know, 45 seconds. That's all I needed.
Yeah,
I'm too old to play those six-minute prog rock metal songs. I don't know. As far as like what I've composed, what was my favorite?
Yeah.
Is that the question? I was in a band. I was in a band about a year ago, and I quit doing that. Just didn't really have time to get with the people I was playing with, and there were some taste differences. We, you know, we all had a common idea, and then it kind of went on, and then, you know, we just kind of separated our ideas. And then when I had my daughter, Noella, who was 18 months old, I kept doing it and kept doing it. And then it was just, you know, to me, it was more of a priority to spend time with my daughter than make it to practice. And so, you know, there's some headbutting over that. And I was like, listen, guys, I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing, but I know the songs because I wrote them. So if I miss practice, it's not a big deal. so I like that band. It was a little more progressive as far as what we were doing. But as far as like things I've written that I've composed, I was in this metal band. While I was working with Chris, he saw us a few times, named Avenge the Ghost. It was me and my brother and some of our friends. It was metal, but, you know, a lot of singing, a little bit of progressive stuff in there, some breakdowns, but it was an album that, you know, we wrote half of before we went in the studio and wrote the other half in the studio. And it was like I was going through some tough stuff, like with, you know, discovering things about myself. And so, you know, I was writing songs. They're really personal. There's a song on the album that we never officially released. We just kind of made copies and gave it away. There was a song on there about my grandpa passing and my grandma being, like, the strongest person in my life at the time. And then there's songs about breakups and then songs about, you know, I went through I don't want to say I was an alcoholic, but I drank a lot for a while. Chris knows about that. And, you know, there's some songs on there about struggling with that part of your life, you know, kind of going through that, having fun, but then, you know, kind of ridding yourself of your demons at that point. So that album, I think that would probably be my favorite. And I did a lot of intro-outro stuff that I really want to do, a lot of layers. It's the first time getting into a nicer studio to really experiment, you know. Everything before the recording stuff before was really just like a process, like, oh, these are the songs, let's go lay them down in like 3 days and be done with it. And that was like a real experience, you know, as far as like writing in the moment and a lot of collaboration and experimenting with like the things we could do in the studio. So that was probably my favorite. And I don't know, Chris, do you have a copy of that?
You know what? I don't have a copy of anything of yours, and that was going to be, I know that, right? That was going to be one of the questions that we were going to bring up, which I'll just kind of do it now because you segued me perfect. How do we listen to your music? Are you on iTunes, SoundCloud? Facebook?
My old band had like a MySpace page. That was like the last thing I posted online would have been MySpace.
Wow.
Because exactly. Like, and I was playing music a year ago, but we just never finished recording anything, and it was more about playing out. And every time, it seems like every time I would record something, we would never do presses. We would just do burns and then have them at shows and get rid of them. So it's even hard for me to find stuff sometimes. Like, I used to play with Jeff Dixon, who Chris and I worked with in retail, quote-unquote retail hooking. And I still work with him. Nina Tandy on the block, that kid. And he has a copy of one of our old bands. So every time I lose the copy, I'm like, hey, you got a copy of that? He burns me a copy. I have to think about putting it all on one site. So I'll shoot you that once I get it up. Because, I mean, Jesus, I've been playing and recording since 99 and, you know, recording up until a year ago. So there's a lot of stuff that I could probably just put on a site and just, like, you know, listen to it and watch me grow up, you know.
We need a Matt Davis discography.
I know. My parents have probably half of it, though. And they're like, you know, my ska stuff. My parents are like, oh, it's so fun and cute. And they start writing metal, and they're like, you guys yell a lot.
So. You know, Matt, this is Christian. You're mentioning all these different things you've done through the years, whether it be in a band, doing your own thing, what have you. And Chris mentioned earlier that, you know, you have a wife and a 2-year-old daughter. You know, just like us, we have this show, but, you know, yeah, we do the show for an hour, but we do put some prep into it, believe it or not. And, you know, how do you balance a real job, your family, and then also following a passion and the job of music? Well, how have you in the past been able to do that?
Well, I mean, the past, it's just, you know, for work, you kind of set work aside, you know, you make sure that you put yourself in a position where your boss likes you enough to where you can ask off for certain things, utilize your vacation time appropriately. For years, I've been at this job for 7 years, like Chris said, that's where we met. And before that, you know, I was just working stupid jobs, you know, like working at a pizza place, managing that, and a video store before that. So those jobs were easy. But once I got into a real job, you know, that there was a little more work to put into it as far as scheduling time for practices. But that was just time management. Now, having a child, you know, more recently, that was tougher. And not really for me to find the time to do it. But being in a band specifically is difficult when you have that many factors in your life, because it's not just your schedule, but you're working around the schedule of however many people are in a band. So we actually tried to make it as small as possible with four people, and even then it was, you know, banging heads, not just on, like, ideas, but on scheduling, you know, and it becomes a lot of work. So it helps, you know, to have, like, a supportive friend and supportive family, and my wife. My wife has always supported my music. You know, some people, you know, at one point were like, oh, he doesn't play because of his wife, and that's true, and it's not. She doesn't want me to not play music, but I really enjoy my wife. I'm a huge fan of her and a huge fan of my kids, so spending time with them kind of takes my priority. So, you know, I kind of had to step away from music for a little while just for that, you know, just not growing up per se, but really just having time, especially with my daughter. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know, are there any parents? Christian, are you a parent?
No, I'm not. Okay. Yeah, I have a girlfriend and, you know, have family, but no kids.
Yeah, and Topher, he hasn't adopted one yet, right?
Not yet.
they weren't handing him out at the Pride Parade or anything?
No. I got a dog instead.
That's all you need. We have two dogs as well. I know Burson doesn't have a kid yet, but it's an incredible experience, and kind of makes everything else seem childish to a certain degree. You know, and like I still have that passion for music, and I'm actually starting some new projects again. Just, you know, there's a lot of inspiration within me just from my wife and my daughter to write again, to create again. But as far as expression, it's a lot harder to go onto a stage and express those kinds of things. So I'm working on recording projects right now with that. And then I'm going to be doing a cover band with my wife, which will be really fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty. Well, we're going to do something different. It's funny, she hates the band name, but I'm like, listen, I'm only doing it with this band name. So we're going to call ourselves Party Pants. So, like, anytime you have a show, it's like, bring your party pants, you know. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff from, you know, 80s rock to, you know, to NSYNC covers to AC/DC,
nice.
Like just everything, anything that you can dance to, we're going to try to play. That's the ultimate goal. So, and you know, it's a little bit of a rock vibe. I've been playing a lot of rock and roll, so it'll be hard for me to not put a little spin on it.
Right.
But as far as me rambling on, to balance, it is tough to balance, but you know, it's, you know, the things that you love take priority in your life, as you guys probably know. So music became a second priority to family, but it's still something I really love to do. And you know, I'm getting to an age where I'm more about sounding good than I am about you know, doing the performance per se. So like, I want to make sure that I have the right tone on my guitar and lame stuff like that. But I'm like, oh, I need that amp because it sounds good. But I still love music. I have an iPhone. There's a little plug for you guys. Maybe you guys need Apple to sponsor you now. iPhones are fantastic because you can just get any music you want on them. But I've found myself recently being more into the things that you guys do. I'm really huge into talk radio. Which in turn turned me on to podcasting. I've erased so much stuff on my phone just so I could download a bunch of Kevin Smith podcasts and listen to that guy talk about, you know, his balls or whatever for hours a day. So you guys start talking more about like balls and comic books, always a new every week.
Oh my gosh. You need to check out Ken Jillette on the podcast. He is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a magician. It's Penn and Teller.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
Penn does,
that,
it's like
sure.
Penn Sunday School. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I bet he'd be an interesting listen. Because he's really funny and quirky, but, like, he's got a dark side, too, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, then, what kind of venues are ultimately, like, what would your goal be with music? Would it be making music with your wife? Would it be, you know, making maybe something a little bit larger, on a larger scale, something on iTunes, per se? Kind of what's your musical aspiration? What is it that you hope to achieve?
Well, when I was young, for sure, it was like, you know, you have the big dreams, and then I'd say in the last few years, you know, I was playing with guys who were like, this is really good, we should take this, we should tour, we should go out to L.A. and record it, and blah, blah, and I'm like, dude, like, I like to write music. Like, for me, it's cathartic, it's a really great outlet for me, so, like, doing it for me is more about not necessarily a hobby, but, I mean, I had to kind of put it in that hobby box because even though it's something I like to pursue, it's not like I don't want to necessarily do it as a career. Now, don't get me wrong, getting paid for it is fun. I mean, I've been on both ends of that. You know, I've played cover bands making, you know, a couple $100 a night playing that to playing, they have a thing called Heron Fest in Southern Illinois where we opened for a Collective Soul and we made a lot more money there. Oddly, it wasn't when they were still cool, though. It was like 3 years ago, so way after their peak. But and then I've played, you know, basement shows where you're playing for like a cut of the door and stuff like that. So it's nice to make money, but money isn't the ultimate goal with me for music. It's more about storytelling. The last band I was in was a concept band, so like I'm real nerdy. I don't know how much Burson's told you, but like, I have a comic book collection, and I love sci-fi and, you know, Star Trek and Star Wars. And, yeah, like, I had a pretty heavy addiction to comic books for a while where I was spending way too much money and had to cut back because I was, like, I was buying books I wasn't even reading because I was just like, it's so good and nerdy, you know. So for me, the thing is for original music to create. Now, I do still love the performance part, and that's really where the cover band stuff comes in. Is to perform and do it differently to where it still has my flavor. I'm not just, you know, going to go up there and play, you know, Simple Man the same way everyone's played it for years, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, like we're doing, like I said, like literally doing NSYNC and Backstreet Boys songs, but with rock and roll guitar and stuff. So putting a spin on it, but that's for the performance part, for the fun, for the getting out there and, you know, stretching your legs again, you know, because that part's
right.
Fun. But as far as my aspiration for original music is usually expression, you know. It was actually really cool when I talked to Burson about doing the theme song. You know, I hadn't gotten to get into that fun part of music in so long because I was, you know, took it so seriously because it was like I'm writing these, you know, sci-fi epic stories or I'm writing, like, deeply personal songs to, like, I was like, you know, I want to do something fun for this show for you guys, you know, with like miniature storytelling. You know, it's, you know, you guys the rule breakers. So I thought, you know, you guys want your voices to be heard. You know, you're like, I'm not gonna censor myself, and I'm not, you know, do it their way. So it's like, you know, let your voice be heard. Let them know, you know, that it's you. Let them know who you are. So it's really
right.
Fun to describe, you know, a little 45 second, you know, pop ditty that still hopefully conveys that message. I thought about it honestly, just like, heck, man, I'm just going to try to write a bunch of, you know, podcast theme songs and stuff like that. And just be like, hey, you want one? I'll do them for free. Let me write 45 seconds for you, and you can have it.
Right.
You know, just
reach out to
me. Right. Who needs 45 seconds of melody? I feel like I stray on questions. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. We absolutely love the theme song. I actually have it as my ringtone on my phone when people call me, by the way.
Yes.
It's really cool.
You know,
ask about
really
it all
funny.
The time.
Have any of you guys ever played music? Anything like that?
I play the guitar, and I sing, and I write.
Oh, so you get it. Yeah, you understand that, like, that part of you that's just, like, creative and needs to get it out, and that's just the best way for you to express yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I have friends that have played music for so long, and they'll make a record and then put it away. Like, you were talking about how you have that song as your ringtone. I should probably have you send that to me so I can do it, because there is no bigger fan of Matt Davis than Matt Davis. Like, when I make a CD, like, it's embarrassing, but, like, you would, like, come, like, be like, oh, you can drive today, and you get in my car, and you'd be like, are you listening to yourself? I'm like, yeah, that shit's good. I'm going to turn it up.
So, Matt, for all the listeners that are in Central Illinois that are listening because of me and in Southern Illinois,
How do we find you, and how do we find where you're going to be performing?
Oh, goodness. That is a good question. I'll be putting up, once we get the band fully together, we're gonna try to put together a New Year's Eve show in Decorum for this cover band. So probably just my Facebook page, but you won't just see my music. You'll see all my stupid linked videos and stuff that I post on there, too. If you just go to Facebook and just look up Matthew Paul Davis, you'll find me there, and you'll find you'll see an annoying amount of pictures of my kid, but totally worth the time because she's adorable as all shit. And then you know that's where I'll be linking a lot of stuff for music and for other stuff. Me and my friend Zach are actually getting into the world of podcasting pretty soon. Business cat, Chris, did you ever meet Zach Calvert? He's a big guy that I used to hang out with a lot. I don't know if you ever met that guy.
I might have.
Hey, you know what? He would have been at the Super Bowl party at my house when I spent all the time in the kitchen just drinking. There was like two or three people watching the game. He was the other guy watching the game while me and my other friends were like,
now.
Football's fine, but we're just gonna drink. that guy is my best friend down here. Like we hang out. I hang out with him more than anybody else. Like. My kid, like, is, like, said his name before she said, like, half of my family's name, which was really funny. And my wife's best friend was all jealous because she wanted her to say Aunt Danny, and she was like, Zach! Like, it was sweet. Anyways, that kid, he and I have a lot of similar interests, and he makes me laugh a lot. Like, Burson and I hung out for a long time, so Burson can tell you I'm usually the guy, like, cracking jokes like an idiot, just saying the most ridiculous things or, you know, taking my dick out just to get a laugh. As is, you know, my dick is hilarious for whatever reasons. Chris gets it because fun story about working with Chris. He left his phone in the back office one time, and I used to. So at our job, Chris and I used to hang out, and at the job, my boss would get on to me, you know, about you know, because I would goof off a lot, and I would always say, "It's not like I'm taking my dick out of work." But one time, Chris left his phone in the back with me and my friend Brian, and after that day, I could never again say, at least I don't take my dick out at work. I'm just going to leave the story at that.
Yeah, that's true. True story. Wow.
But anyway, so, you know, me, I'm usually the guy that's goofing off where we're at and clowning around, but this kid, Zach, man, he, like, I can just listen to that kid talk about the most ridiculous things. The other day, we sat at my house, and I nearly pissed my pants on the couch, because he was giving his description of the original Star Trek movie series, talking about that horrible one with the whales. Have you guys ever seen that movie?
Yep.
No.
Oh, yeah, God. You got to watch it just based on how horrible it is. And still brilliant, you know, for the time. You know, it's during the Cold War, and, you know, Chekhov, the Russian dude's walking around the city saying, "Where do you keep your nuclear weapons?" And it's just ridiculous. But this guy is really funny. So we're starting a podcast, probably start that in a couple of weeks. So we'll have links for the podcast on my page, links for the new cover band on the page, and then, you know, just stupid pictures of me and my kid doing stupid stuff, you know, eating cookies and putting barrettes in my hair.
Nice.
So my 10-minute answer to your one-second question, where can we find stuff? Somewhere on Facebook.
Somewhere
answer.
On Facebook. Well, yeah. Matt, we do want to thank you for first and foremost writing the song. Can't appreciate it enough, and I do smile every single time I hear that song, which makes me think that I should probably call you more often, which I'm a bad friend, and I know I don't. So I will do that.
Dude,
we
have an extra bed now. You don't have to sleep on our couch this time. Come back down. We have a bedroom and everything.
Yeah, and last time I was ready to come down, you didn't tell me you were going to move, and I almost went to your old place.
That would have been awesome. The people that live at that house are kind of weird. Yeah.
Well, are they any weirder than the previous owners?
Well, they're less fun, we'll say.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for being part of the show. I know you want to get back to your family life with the wife and the almost two-year-old, who I will say firsthand is adorable. She is adorable.
Cute as ever, yeah. Those other guys are like, what are you talking about? That kid looks like every other kid. All
like
kids
every
look
other,
the same.
Every 2-year-old.
Yeah. They all smile and they say daddy and they shit their pants. No one cares.
Oh, fantastic. You're more than welcome to stick around if you want to. We've got some topics we're going to bring up if you want to throw in your 2 cents, but if you've got to drop off, we certainly understand. So thank you so much, Matt.
Awesome, thanks. I am going to hop off. Thanks for having me. Probably actually, I'm going to try to make a trip up to see you. Maybe I'll try to make it up to where you and I can sit in the same room next time, Chris, and I'll hang out and talk on your show again.
Absolutely. Maybe when,
cool.
That'd
be
maybe
awesome.
When you hit it big on your cover band.
Yeah, that's what most cover bands are, right? They're huge.
That's right. Thanks, Matt.
All right,
man.
Thanks,
have a
guys.
Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Matt Davis, everybody. That was awesome. I don't know what that was. So he seems like a really cool guy.
In fact, he is.
Oh,
yeah, it was very good. Very good. It was good talking to him, you know. Kind of like other interviews we've done. You never really know how people are going to react, if they're going to be kind of like scared or closed off, but he was more than willing to answer questions and provide lots of insight. It was good. Learned a lot about a guy who, aside from the theme song, didn't really know anything about. So it was good.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear a lot of his stuff. I'm dying to hear his Spice Girls rendition. He said that, and I saw glitter and stars and rainbows and unicorns. It was fantastic. So hopefully we get to have him on the show more when he gets more in the studio and we can kind of promote the hell out of him. I want to jump real quick into our first topic. It was a last-minute topic, but I was going through Facebook, and I'm a big fan of the former rugby player, now LGBT advocate. LGBT, for those of you who are not gay, stands for lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered. So it's kind of like an all-inclusive thing. He quit rugby to do what's called a Stand Up Against Bullying campaign, which has become a huge thing. And he does, God, he's so fucking sexy. But he does, like, calendars, and he does all these events, and he goes to all these different places. And all the money that he gets, he puts into this this stand-up against bullying. And I don't know if anybody else knows, but it's National Spirit Day, which is a yearly anti-bullying campaign that I think we're in, like, our third or fourth year of doing that. And you're supposed to wear purple to support it. Well, apparently Ben Cohen kind of merged with the MLB. Did I say that right? Major League Baseball.
You
is that
did.
Right?
You did.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Kind of joined with them to do a Spirit Day and to kind of stand up against bullying. And apparently, the Braves fans were up in arms and they were pissed off and they had a lot of anti-gay rants and stuff like that, and it completely blew up Twitter and it just became asinine, and I could not stop laughing at some of the comments. If you guys go to, it's like projectqatlanta.com, and the title says Braves fans go anti-gay over the Glad Spirit Day or the Project Q Atlanta. So apparently the Braves have been a big supporter for this anti-bullying, I can't even think of the word, the anti-bullying act, or they've been
campaign.
Yeah, a big, yes, thank you. And
no problem.
apparently,
I was
going to
let him
you know, the Braves, shut the hell up. The Braves fans kind of reacted quickly, and they were, you know, saying things like, this isn't cool, Braves. So I want to, first I want to know what your guys' thoughts are on this.
Well, I didn't even know about it. I was surprised, and I was looking at it before we went on the air. I wasn't shocked. You know, like I was saying to you guys before we got on here, you know, if you want to see the worst of people, you know, sometimes, you know, most people surround themselves with good people. And even if you deal with the public on a day-to-day basis, you generally aren't seeing real opinions and things like that. But if you want to see the worst of people, Twitter is definitely the place to do it. Because unlike Facebook, most people aren't blocking their profiles. Some do, of course, but most people who are, especially those who are very vocal about their opinions, aren't blocking it. And if you spread away from the people you follow and try to search a hot topic, it is disgusting, some of the things that you will see on there, and it's a mess. But anyway, and when I looked up the article, I wasn't on the website, I don't think, Topher, that you mentioned. I was seeing responses to the Braves on Twitter. They had said, continuing our anti-bullying campaign, wear purple in support of LGBT people, something along those lines. And then this website was showing the responses to their Twitter account. And I wasn't surprised by it, but it was just ridiculous. I mean, there's people saying they were no longer going to go to Braves games because of this. There's other people saying, hey, we're all for your anti-bullying message, but don't promote the gay agenda. You know, just like the little buzzwords you hear about off. And you just don't think there's that many people out there like that. It's disheartening to see that. I'm glad to hear that you, Topher, you said that you couldn't help but laugh at it. And it just shows how much of a bigger person you are. That I'm getting a little bit more worked up about it. It just makes me mad. But you kind of just roll it off your back and be like, hey, these people, whatever, screw them. You know, you're not going to let it bug you. But, yeah, it's frustrating to see people that are like that. What about you, Burson? What do you think?
Well, I had it was a last-minute topic, so I really didn't get a chance to go through a lot of the replies I see on the ProjectQAtlanta.com website. But just coming through them, there was just so much hatred. And that's the part that I don't understand is if you're – I don't mind talking about topics and having a positive or a negative talk about a topic, but this wasn't like a positive talk or a negative talk. It was just pure hatred, which that's the part that, for me, I put myself – or try at least put myself above it so that way I don't get – sucked into it, because then I'm just no good as they are with their agendas. And I don't know if it was their responses are because they're in the Deep South and they have maybe different views. I don't know. But it's just pure hatred. I don't understand it. And that's the part that's alarming to me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you guys. But, you know, When I decided that I was going to come out, not that I decided I was going to be gay, but when I decided I was going to live my life as an openly gay man, I have to understand that not everybody is going to be okay with this. And they have every right to their opinion. They have every right to say whatever it is that they want to say. And some of it is hurtful, but I still have to kind of, one, know that I don't know any of these people. And two, these people don't know me. And three, if they can say whatever they want. And it just goes to show how small-minded they are and how unprogressive this group of people are. And it's not everybody. I mean, I think my favorite one is, it says, I'm all for, it's by Nathaniel, I shouldn't say his name, I'm sorry. If you guys want to see them, go to ProjectQAtlanta.com and find the article. It says, I'm all for anti-bullying, but these kids need Jesus, not encouragement to pursue that lifestyle. As a longtime Braves fan, I am very disappointed that this was posted here. I will love the people for who they are and encourage them to find hope in Christ and definitely rally against bullying, but I will not celebrate sin. And then another one says, stick to baseball, stay out of politics. I'm ashamed that they have taken this stance. And then here's a positive one. It says, well, I've pulled my son from Boy Scouts due to their support. Hang on. No, I'm sorry. I read the wrong one.
Nope.
I apologize. No, I read the wrong one. It says, stupid Braves, stop being political, telling us to stand up for something that God clearly condemns. What's really interesting is that it may be sponsored by GLAAD, but it's really all about anti-bullying. And what are these people doing? They're bullying. So it's kind of funny, you know what I mean? But, you know, to each his own, and everybody's willing to kind of believe or say whatever it is that they want to say. I just find it hysterical how much how much of a backlash that the Braves fans or that the Braves are getting from their fans, from people who wear their hats and have their bumper stickers on their car and have the jerseys and koozies and, you know, what have you, that this is how they're supporting their quote unquote, you know, team that they love. I just found it really, really funny and a little ironic. So
And it was funny too, like the people who would say, I'm all for anti-bullying, but this is an abomination to God. And you're like, wow, how much more bullying could you be than telling someone, not that they stink, not that you don't like them, you know, something that's still not nice, but telling them they're an abomination. It just boggles my mind, the thought process or lack thereof that people go through with this kind of talk. And I know, Topher, we've had this discussion on the show and in private before. One conversation in particular that comes to mind when that whole Chick-fil-A thing happened, where the owner said he didn't want gay people to eat at his restaurant or whatever it was. And I was talking to you and Matt, and I was like, how does this not get you guys so pissed off? And you guys were like, you know, it does, but, you know, these people are entitled to their opinion. You know, it's a sucky one, and ones that we don't agree with, they're entitled to it. And it was just, you know, how you guys just kind of let it roll off your back and be like, it is what it is. You're not going to change most people's minds. Why feed into it? You know, and that's, you know, unfortunately how a lot of people feel. And it's a good way to feel because it makes you the bigger person. But it just so frustrates me, though. You just, like, you wish you could just get to these people, but there's just no reasoning with people that think that way.
Right. I'm a big, mostly because I'm gay, but, you know, it doesn't even have to be about that. I'm a huge advocate for equality, and that's equality across the board, whether it's gay, gay rights or women's rights or everything that falls under equality. I'm a huge supporter of that, but I'm also a huge supporter of I'm definitely a big supporter of the LGBT community and the LGBT youth, because it's disgusting. I remember earlier this year of how many, and last year, how many teen suicides that were there because of bullying, because of the LGBT youth had really nobody to look up to. And I wanted to do this show not to be overtly gay and openly talk about it on every single show, and it's all about those topics, it's all about LGBT rights. But it's nice to be, I like to take a different approach than, you know, what APA is doing in Charleston and what a lot of these human rights campaigns and a lot of these LGBT groups, they're out there, they're in the front line, they're actually fighting and they're protesting and they're doing all that stuff, and that's great, but that's not the position that I want to take. I want to be more of the, wow, I can relate to this guy. And hopefully at some point in this venture that is No Rules, Just Mike, I can touch someone and inspire them to be who they are, not because of I'm in the forefront and I'm fighting with posters and banisters and protesting and hating this because they support this or liking this because they support this, but I'm just being myself and I'm being honest. And I think that's all that anybody, whether you're gay, straight, transgendered, bisexual, or you're a dog, you just want to be yourself. And hopefully I can inspire others to live that lifestyle. So,
Very well put.
Agreed.
Sorry about that. But when you go back into the bullying, I challenged you both to listen to Miley Cyrus's new album, Bangers. And I was very, very happy to hear that Chris Burson actually listened to it and I'm going to say liked it. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, the reviews are in, and she has topped the Billboard charts at number one in the first week, selling 270,000 records, or I don't even, I guess, copies. You don't call it records anymore, copies, which makes Bangers Miley Cyrus's fifth number one album since 2006. And it's huge because she's had hit after hit, and I know that I think she's trying to push for the title track "Bangers" to be her next single, which means that Britney Spears would be on that single as well, which makes me very happy. But according to Huffington Post, people are really liking it. People are really drawn to the new Miley Cyrus, regardless of all the twerking, that people are really drawn to her music because it is so diverse and eclectic. And I think a lot of people can kind of relate to some of the music, albeit not all of it, but, you know, some of it. Have you heard any of it at all, Christian, other than what was on the radio?
No, and not because I refuse to. It's more of the situation we were talking about before where the internet is not working at home. So when I do have internet access, I've been using it to work on the website, look at news and stuff like that. I haven't had as much free time to use the internet as, you know, I've been without internet doing other things. It's been terrible. But no, I haven't been able to listen to it yet. But once I have a steady internet back, which will hopefully be next week, that's something I definitely, now, especially now that I've got Burson hopping on, saying it's something he can appreciate, I'll definitely be given to listen.
Good. Good. And I know that we're running down to the last 4 minutes. And, guys, we have a brand-new live Guilty Pleasures coming up with Karen Ashley, I believe. We were going to have Mike J is going to be on there, and I'm not sure who else, but I will be sticking around for that also. For the next couple of seconds, I want to just let you know, after 6 seasons, Glee is ending. Glee is going to end after final 6th season. Which makes me sad because I'm a huge, huge Glee fan. I've loved it ever since the first episode. But the series finale is actually going to honor Corey Monteith. And I know that it's a surprise for me when I found out, but I know that Chris Burson is a fan of Glee. Did you hear about this?
Yes. I did.
What?
I heard about it. And from what I understand, I think they're only in the 5th season right now. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah, so there's still one more season.
So they're going to complete this year's and then have one more season, and that will be the series finale next year.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's kind of, you know, I know that these characters can't go on forever, and at some point this storyline is going to be kind of boring. It's going to be like a General Hospital type of thing where, all right, whose brother is sleeping with their sister and whose mom is doing this, and someone's going to get shot or fall down, you know, an elevator shaft. So I think it's probably a good time for them to kind of, you know, say their goodbyes, because they're probably going to let all the main cast of this season go. Everybody's going to graduate. So it's probably a good time for them to just kind of end it. But I want to just real quick, I want to kind of find out, you know, there's some big names on the show. There are people who definitely carved their niche into Hollywood with just either their music or their voice or their acting abilities. Chris Burson, I know you can answer it better than I know Christian can, because Christian is not a Glee fan. But,
how dare you, sir, although that's true.
Oh. which cast members do you think are going to move on to bigger things, and which cast members do you think are going to be typecasted as, oh, you were on Glee, kind of like a Brady Bunch a curse? What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I think they're all going to be typecasted.
Really?
It's going to be very tough. Yeah, I think it's going to be very tough for them to break out of that cool musical role. Now, like Lea Michele, some of the bigger ones, they may be able to spring off and do their own vocal stuff and then drop off from acting for a little while and then get back into it so they aren't making a quick transition to a different role.
Right.
But I think right off the bat, at least for the next couple of years, everybody that's been on Glee will be typecasted for Glee.
You know, I would think that, what is his name? I can't remember his name. Kurt. Kurt did a movie called Struck by Lightning that came out either last year or the year before. And it was it was on the Sundance Film Festival. It got great reviews. He really kind of moved away from that flamboyantly gay person. And he literally became an asexual character. He wasn't attracted to men. He wasn't attracted to women. He was, he just played this character, and he played it very, very well. And I don't know if anybody has watched the movie, but I highly recommend watching it. It's on Netflix right now. It's called Struck by Lightning. So I urge you to watch it, and then we will talk about that next week. But next up, and actually right now, we have your guilty pleasure, folks, coming up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and thank you to Matt for calling in and, of course, giving us probably one of the best opening themes since the UCR theme song. Without further ado, have a great night, guys.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Hello?
Oh, that's the intro? I thought there was some ending music and then some more. My bad.
That's okay.
I'm not used to the whole transition thing. My bad. I did not get the green light for go.
It's okay. Green light, go.
All right. Hey, everyone. What's going on? I am Mr. Mike J, and I'm joined tonight by Topher, and Miss Ashley will be joining us shortly, and she's going to have a... quite a story to tell if she can ever get through to the LAPD, but I don't want to steal her thunder. I'll let her bring that all out. But, I was hearing the last few minutes there of No Rules, Just Mics, and so Glee is done. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sad, but it really, it's kind of moving into that point where, you know, what else can they do? Type of thing. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do for the sixth season. I say they bring Alanis Morissette on and do just an entire Alanis Morissette show. But nobody's responded to my Twitter. So we'll see.
That might be a little bit too dark for Glee. I don't know. But I will be very glad if they let the show go out on a high note, which it sounds like that's what the creators are trying to do, because I don't know how many of you out there are fans of the Lifetime series Army Wives, but just about all of the cast from not the season that just wrapped up, but the season before that, were pretty much written off, all of the originals. Kim Delaney got the axe. That's the only one's name I can remember. The redheaded girl, the one that played Pam, loved her. But they essentially tried to reboot the show along the same storyline, just with a new group of characters. Sort of like, you know, Say by the Bell and then Say by the Bell, the Next Generation or the New Class or whatever.
Right.
And it didn't work. So I'm glad that they're not going to try that with Glee.
Did you know that Army Wives was filmed right here in Charleston?
Is it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's an old Air Force base that's right on the outskirts of Charleston, and it's like all old abandoned buildings, but the way that they do it on the show, the way that they have it set up, you'd think that it was still an active military base. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. They take extras all the time. They're always looking for extras to be walk-ons or have like a one- or two-line part in the series. It's really cool.
Well, then what the hell is your excuse? Get over there. I mean, it's probably too late now because I heard they got canceled. But,
yeah.
What's your excuse? I would have went, come on, sit in the hump bar and have a Coke or something.
Well, so the thing is I have a really, really busy 7-to-7 job, and there was just no time for me to get away to do it. Trust me, I thought about it, and I submitted my a picture, like my portfolio, because I was an extra in Cold Mountain. And so obviously it's like one line, extra in Cold Mountain. But, you know, I sent that in, and I didn't hear anything back for a while, but they were taking open casting calls. And I was never able to do it. I was never able to get there to show my face so I can even just be like a walk-on or, you know, that person that drops their soda or whatever. But I really wanted to.
Nice. No, that would be fun. I always wondered how they did that. I wondered if they actually filmed on a legit Army base. Then, of course, probably for military secrets and whatnot, they probably don't allow that sort of thing. But they so they did a really good job with that show, like making it look very realistic.
Yeah, it was a good show. But I agree with you. I think I'm glad that Glee is going to kind of end on a high note, because it's been a voice of, I'm gonna say a generation, but it's been a huge voice, and it's been a really good thing for the for people who like music, and for, you know, the people who are in choir to really kind of own up to that and allow them to be themselves and not be afraid to want to get into that and to kind of veer away from any kind of stereotypes or having to fit in with the crowd. You know, it's a bunch of misfits, people who just happen to be very, very talented, and I think everybody can kind of relate to that in some form or fashion or another, albeit whether it's music or something else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know we all had, you know, that's the great part about, well, I was going to say great part about high school. I don't know if there's really anything great about it, but you do have the opportunity to go out there and branch out and get into clubs that interest you. Although now that I'm saying this, I'm thinking to myself, who the hell in their fucking right mind is going to join Glee Club? I mean, even if you were interested, you'd be like, that's social suicide. I mean,
right.
Luckily for Jeff and I, we went to a very poor Catholic high school, and they couldn't afford clubs, so there weren't any to join. But
yeah,
shoot,
I did.
I have my own
club. I know you did. It wasn't called Glee Club at the time. I graduated in 2000, and since elementary school, I was in chorus, and then as I got older, we got into choir and honors choir, and we went to competitions and things like that. So I was always into music, which is why I started writing music at a young age. I picked up the guitar, I played piano, I played the violin. I was really big into music, and it wasn't anything that I felt like I was an outsider from. I always felt accepted because there was always a group of people that were kind of, I'm going to use the word again, misfits. You know, we weren't the jocks, we weren't the cheerleaders, although we had a couple of stragglers from those two areas. There was definitely a couple of ROTC people that were in there, but it was kind of like a harmonious thing. We came here to do one thing, and that's just a thing, and just kind of embrace that and embrace that quirky part of us. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of quirky. You know, we didn't do any kind of school productions because we get food at... in high school, anyway, we'd get booed and things like that. So, you know, it was just a place for us to just kind of get together and just sing music that we really like to do, that we really like to sing. So I missed it, and I still write music, and I still arrange music and sing music and things like that. And that's my way of connecting back to, you know, high school days. Were you a singer? Are you a singer?
Oh, God, no. Maybe I like to think I'm a singer, and I have been known to bust out into some karaoke after I've had a few. But I am not a singer. I cannot carry a tune. I am tone deaf. It's not pretty. Maybe if, we ever get around to season 2 of Uncensored Reality, we'll, do a little bit of drunken karaoke bar night. But,
I better be a guest star. On that, I better be a guest star.
And
let me
guess,
here,
because this is what drives me nuts, and I wish Mama was here to help me out with this story, but we, you know, when we get together at his place, we do parties and whatnot, they would always bring out SingStar. You probably have SingStar, right? Or you've heard of it at least.
What is it?
SingStar, it's like karaoke for the PlayStation.
Oh, no, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's basically karaoke on, like, your PlayStation. You hook it up, and it comes up on the screen, and you have a stage, and there's an audience, and you basically cover for popular songs. Like, they've got, you know, Justin Bieber, Jesse McCartney, Katy Perry, Miley, you know, all the popular ones. You can get packages and add-ons and whatnot. But what always would drive me nuts is Jeff's husband, Joe, is perfect at it because he will spend... 8 hours a day in the man cave learning every single fucking song on that thing. And because when you're singing it, like, you can, you know, you control your pitch and your volume and you know, I don't really know the technical musical terms, but because it shows up on the screen if you're lining up on the line where you're supposed to get the maximum number of points, and he will sit there and do that all freaking day. So then when it comes time, you know, for the rest of us to play at night, this one's already just had an 8-hour jam session with him.
Oh, that is hysterical. I think that's cheating. I don't know. Would you call that cheating?
I think it is.
Yeah, it's totally cheating. That's totally cheating. However, Matthew and I and Matt's sister and her husband came up with a band when Rock Band first came out quite a few years ago. Mm-hmm. We formed our own band, and we would practice nonstop. And, of course, you know, we're all drunk, and Matt's playing the drums, and I don't know, he looks like Animal from the Muppet Babies, just smacking these plastic drums, and nobody really knows how to play guitar or anything. But sure as shit, I found every single song, and I downloaded them on my iPhone, and I rehearsed every single song, so I blew it away. I was like, girl, I've got this. I am Tina Turnering this song. So needless to say, I'm a cheater, too.
No, I think I could probably do it if I practiced. But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, come on, what am I going to, you know, sit around and practice, you know, for SingStar competitions? But my trouble is I have to figure out what songs would work with my voice the way it is. I mean, when I was younger, I could belt out and be a soprano like nobody's business. Like, I could hit those high notes. I can't anymore. You know, so I got to figure out, like, maybe country would work for me. Let's try that.
I don't know.
Give me some.
I don't know if you
Luke
have that
Bryan
plan.
Up in here. I could probably pull it off. I'll go spend another couple months in Oklahoma. I'll come back with it. I think I've finally gotten the Western out of my accent. It took a little bit of while, but I think it's gone.
Yeah, it's hard to get things. Like, I'm from Long Island, and every once in a while I'll say a word. Like, I said cheddar the other day. And everybody looked at me like I had 8 heads, and I'm like, shit, that did kind of like that, didn't it? It was really, really hard to get out of the Long Island accent. But I've been bound and determined not to use the word y'all. I don't know. For me, it's a thing. It's the only thing that I can hold on to hold on to my northern roots. But I, for 17 years, I have not said the word y'all. Yeah.
My thing that I brought back, and it's finally worked its way out of my vocabulary, was getcha. Like, every other thing out of getcha. You know, like, people will come in to see me at work, and I'm like, well, come on in, have a seat, we'll get y'all fixed up. Yeah, and which was perfectly acceptable in Oklahoma. That's great. You know, but back here, like, getcha, people are like, what the hell, is he on drugs? You know, and the other thing I always noticed, which it threw me for a loop at first, they don't really say thank you out there. It's more of a, you know, appreciate you.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But if you think
appreciate
about it, like, appreciate you. Like, they don't say thank you. Like, and it's not like they're being rude. Like, if you think about it, if you just, like, help somebody out or whatever, I almost, like, having someone say they appreciate you is, to me, it's just even way more endearing than a simple, oh, thanks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One, it takes longer to say. And two, just the meaning behind it. It's, wow, you really appreciated what I did for you, or, you know, whatever the case is. No, I agree with you.
It took me so long to get used to
that. They say that a lot also. They say it a lot.
Now, did it take you a while to get used to it? Because at first it freaked me out, because, I mean, you know, people would shake my hand and they'd be looking at me and I'm like, really appreciate you. I'm like, what the fuck is this wrong with this dude? He's creeping me out. Like, you know, I mean, I'm from the East Coast. I'm like, what's going on with this? And then, you know, after like I was there for 2.5 months. So after the first 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, they just don't say thank you. Okay. All right.
Right.
I got it now.
Yeah. It took a little bit of getting used to, absolutely, but what really bothered me is, you know, when I graduated high school and I started working with some of my patients, they would call me sir. It's yes, sir, no, sir, whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
And it drove me crazy. I'm like, I'm 19 years old. I'm not a sir. I'm still a kid here. But it's their way of showing respect. So, like, little kids will say,
can I go to the bathroom? And the mom will say, what do you say, ma'am? Or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. They're very big into signifying whether you're a male or a female, which took me a lot of years to figure out why they did it. And it's their way of showing sign of respect. So
oh, yeah,
I don't call myself
definitely.
Mr. Topher, because that sounds like a porn name. But
Mr.
You know, people
Topher,
call me that,
oh, my God.
I just kind of nod and smile. And call me whatever the hell you want.
excuse me, Mr. Topher, sir.
It sounds weird, doesn't it? It hits the ear wrong for me for some reason. I don't like it. It's creepy. And you
well,
know,
I mean,
when people call you Bo, have you ever heard of that one?
I have no. I have not had that one happen to me, and I don't know that I do. What's that all about?
Oh, so, you know, if someone, like, it's a guy thing. So if a guy walks up and says, hey, Bo, how you doing? Instead of saying, hey, guy, or what's up, man, it's, hey, Bo. B-O.
Hmm.
And I don't like that at all. It's creepy.
No, that is a little weird. That's a little weird. But actually, I'm still kind of hooked up on the Mr. Topher thing. Like, do you have one of those names? That's like, Mr. Topher, no, no. And then Mr. Cassidy, I don't know about that either. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
very,
think Mr. Cassidy.
No,
they
no.
Call, like, if I call, let's say I have to call, like, the customer service for, like, Capital One or whatever, they'll ask for, you know, my name and my cell phone number and where I live, my social security number and my blood type and who the last person I slept with was. And they're like, all right, Mr. Cassidy, what can I do for you today? Please don't call me that. I told you my name is Topher. Please don't call me Mr. Cassidy. I told you what to call me initially. You need to pay attention. It's customer service. I don't like it.
That's true.
You know, it's the cliche thing is, you know, I'm not, you can call me this, you can call me Topher, Mr. Cassidy with my father, and that's really how I feel. That's my dad. Don't associate me with that.
No, no. I mean, it brings up a very good point about the differences between, you know, East Coast, West Coast, and whatnot. But, you know, one of the things that I wonder is if, you know, these sort of, I guess if you want to call them cultural differences or whatnot, or, you know, sort of instincts that everyone has, but depending on where they live, do you see that being carried on from generation to generation? Like, I think about it, like, back, you know, my grandparents and whatnot, you know, I've had one set of them, unfortunately, passed away over this past winter. But my grandparents would always, you know, it was yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, you know. Do you think that as the generations develop, like, that's just being thrown away?
I do, and especially with the teenage generation now, and it seems to be getting a little bit better, but I think just the blatant lack of respect is very prominent. People don't use their manners as much now as we did in, you know, back in the day, and I'm going to say back in the day because that was the 90s, that's fucking 20 years ago. But no,
oh, stop.
Kids are not held accountable for manners. They're not, and I, in the South, and yeah, I can appreciate it now because I've lived here for so long, but parents still, you know, parents will still say, what did you just say? I said yes. I mean yes, ma'am. They're still trying to reinforce the manners in their kids, and I think society as a whole needs that. And you're right, I believe that, you know, manners have kind of fallen by the wayside, and I think kids get away with a lot more than what probably you and I and Karen Ashley got away with. Right, Karen?
That's right.
There she is. All right, well, Karen, I tried not to steal the thunder too much, but Topher, Mr. Topher and I are chomping at the bit to know what happened with the homeless man in the LAPD.
You know what? First of all, I call LAPD because, I mean, it was like, you know, this is a prestigious property, so people are freaking out. They're like, you gotta call the police. So I call the police and say, you know, there's a homeless guy. And honestly, the guy wasn't doing anything, but he was on the property. You know, so it's like he's sitting there reading books. Like he was sitting there reading. But he's obviously homeless. He's dirty. He's, you know. So I just called him and said, look, he's not bothering anyone, but he's on private property and he's got to go. So, of course, I waited like almost half an hour and they still hadn't shown up. So I left. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be gone.
Like, does he go in your office, or does he just, like, hang out on the park benches?
It was kind of one of those situations where it's the way that the building's set up, there's gates all around, but there is a portion where you can kind of get in. You can't go into the property. It's like, you know, huge doors and huge, like, you have to have a key fob and you got to have access and you got to, you know, get buzzed in or whatever. But needless
right.
to say, he was on the property. Like, he was behind one of the gates, chilling.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, now he found a little nook. He was chilling. And, you know, I mean, me personally, I'm like, I feel bad for homeless people because a lot of times they're just trying to get out of the cold or they're trying to get away from, you know, just trying to kind of find a spot to hang out or chill. So, I felt bad, but, he, you know, it's like, I won't hear the end of it if he's not removed. You know, it is what it is. So I'm like, So it's sad but true. But there's a lot of homeless people in LA, like a ton. Like it's shocking. I could take you down this one street, and it's called Skid Row, and you literally would see hundreds upon hundreds of people homeless. And they all kind of are in this one little area, and it's depressing, it's sad, it's crazy. And you walk two blocks, and you see, like, $1 million, you know, condos or lofts. And, you know, it's really sad. But the homeless problem here is really a problem. But it's, what do you do? It's like, you know, there are a lot of people who are, you know, a lot of them are crazy, you know, clinically ill. And a lot of them are just, you know, it's a tough city to make a living in, so they're down on their luck. So.
Right. Gotcha.
But what do you do? Yeah. What do you do?
One of the endless questions and problems we've got in this country. But you know, I'm kind of curious because Mr. Topher and I were talking about Glee wrapping up next season and whatnot, and we were curious to know. Karen, when you were in high school, what clubs were you in? I can imagine you're like president of the prom committee or something. I can totally
Right. I was actually it was tough for me. I didn't really get to do all that until like really my senior year because I was in a singing group. I was in Crush, so I traveled all the time and I kind of went to school. You know, like I'd get my work and be at school a couple days a week, and then I'd be out of town. We were really doing a lot, especially my, you know, sophomore, junior year. Like, we were really traveling a lot. But when I did get to do that, I was the editor of the entertainment section of our school newspaper. I was voted most talented, so I was part of that little crew. I was I wasn't in the Glee Club. Like, we sang, but it wasn't called, like, the Glee Club. It was, like, the theater arts program. So I was part of that, and I was, you know, I was in all the plays and all the – anything we did. I was also, like, a part of DARE, so we had this whole acting troupe that went around and told kids to say no to drugs. I was, like, missed – like, I did everything, I'm trying to tell you. I was also
you were basically popular. All right, we get the picture.
No, I wasn't. That's the thing.
One of us had to be.
I know.
This is the thing. I was not popular. You would have thought I was popular, but I wasn't. Like, I just kept myself involved because I was just that girl. Like, you know me how I am now. I'm a very involved person. Mm. But I was not popular. They did not like me. You can't understand how to go to high school and you have a record deal and, like, your video is playing on, you know, BET and MTV. You are hated by everyone because they're like, why are you on TV and we're not, you know? So, no, I was not popular. Yeah, I was not popular. Yeah, I was not popular. But I was, like, almost like I used to always make the joke. I was like, I was a girl in the in crowd. But the in crowd was kind of like, well, what is she doing here? How'd she get over it? But they couldn't deny me because I was all up in it. I didn't care.
do you think, like, cause you mentioned there was a lot of backlash and whatnot because you mm-hmm. had your record deals and your stuff was all over. Do you think mm-hmm. that back in that time, if Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media that we've got flying around our heads mm-hmm. these days was there, do you think it would have been far worse for you?
Probably, because kids are mean, you know? Kids are just mean. I think it was funny because I went to the same high school, I went to a performing arts high school, but I also went to a regular high school. And the regular high school treated me better than the performing arts high school. The performing arts high school was more like it was like fame, you know? So everybody wanted to be famous, and you were either a dancer, a singer, a musician, or, like, you were an actress. Like, you were one of those four things, and you had to audition to get in. So that school was brutal because the teachers were even mean to me. And after the first year of that, I was like, oh, I'm done with this. I went to a regular high school. And the public school was actually better. They were nicer to me. I wasn't the most popular girl, but, you know, I ended up doing, like, you know, my sophomore, junior, and senior year there. And by the senior year, I tell you, the in crowd kind of accepted me. Like, I was that bubbly girl that everybody was like, oh, God, you know, and she's like, oh, here she comes. She's happy all the time. She's so happy, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like for this.
I think because Facebook to me is like, it's a playground for people who don't have balls to say it to your face. Like, I'll see people talk noise and say mean things about people, and I really don't think they would tweet it. I really don't think anything they would tweet or Facebook they would ever say to your face. Like, I think it's
I would hope not. I would really hope not. You bring up such a good point, because I'm sure both of you have heard of this story that came out recently about the high schooler Rebecca Sedgwick, who killed herself last month after she was bullied on Facebook. And I feel like we do these shows often enough, or,
like,
you know, maybe blacked out because, you know, I was
every
gone
month.
For a year. But this one is actually taking a turn. The local sheriff's department actually took a stand, and prosecutors have a 14-year-old suspect in custody after they found a post on her Facebook page that says, and this just kind of, you know, makes me tweak just a little bit, my heart's breaking, but she posted on her Facebook, yes, I know I bullied Rebecca and she killed herself, but I don't give a expletive.
Wow.
That's awful.
Can you imagine being that person's mom? Like, you sit there and you look at your kid and go, oh, my God, I raised a monster.
Yep. And actually, I apologize. The Rebecca Sedgwick was actually 12 years old when she jumped to her death last month. The two classmates that are accused, one is 14 and the other is 12, they're accused of tormenting her over, surprise, a boy. Actually, is charging them with stalking. And I think this is a very strong message. I mean, what do you guys think? Like, you can be held responsible for what you put online.
I think it's
Absolutely.
Great. I think it's finally great, because it's horrible the times that I've seen, you know, people be treated so poorly, and it's like they can just get away with it and, oh, you know, it's freedom of speech. No, it's bullying. It's just done in a different way. You know, I remember a girl not liking me because I was sharing a locker with a guy. And it was like, back then they didn't have enough lockers, so they paired you up. You know, until, I don't know what it was, but we were overcrowded, and so they paired us up. I got to share with a senior, and he was, you know, but there was nothing going on. And she, like, literally hated my guts. Like, she was, like, out to get me, like, followed me into the lunchroom. And like I said, I went to that school like almost all 4 years, so I ended up having my group of friends, and we were all in, that was the other thing, I was really smart, I was in the talented and gifted program. So all of my talented and gifted friends were like, don't mess with her, so they like took up for me. And so that was my saving grace, but she wanted to kill me because I was sharing a locker with a guy that didn't even really know my name. Crazy.
Wow. That's crazy. You know, Karen, you said earlier, you know,
what it's like to be the parents of these kids who are now, you know, being charged. I'm going to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You learned it somewhere. You learned how to be that way from somebody. And it's usually in the household, I think. Personally, I think, because growing up and being bullied for being gay, that's kind of where it came from. So, I mean, I guess there's two sides to every story, but I'm pretty sure that the parents knew that, you know, this girl was probably not on the up and up.
Right. I mean, there has to be some sort of clues. And, I mean, I've got a, you know, just thinking about my own experiences with high school and whatnot, I don't know that I would have made it because I graduated in 2002. So, I mean, it was 10 years ago. You think back 10 years ago, we had MySpace, which even MySpace was not Facebook, if it's even still around. It is not Facebook.
Right.
We didn't have Facebook back then 10 years ago. We didn't have Twitter back then. So, I mean, as bad as the bullying was, it stayed at the school and when you went home. You only dealt with it when you were in school. You could still go home. I mean, nowadays, kids leave school, they're getting blasted on their smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They get blasted when they sit down in front of the laptop. Like, I can honestly see why some kids would think the only way out is to commit suicide. I mean, if you're constantly
There's no safe place for these kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Even behind their bedroom and their four walls, they're still not safe because they're being attacked via Facebook or Twitter or their phone or, you know, what have you. It's so sad. And it's sad that it's gotten to this point for finally somebody to pay the consequences for their actions and for what they did to that poor girl.
Right.
I mean, think about
this is the thing. I mean, she basically admitted to it. Like, she admitted to the bullying. And it's almost like a sociopathic. Yeah.
Her lawyer says she didn't post it, but come on, who would have posted it? Someone hacked her Facebook page?
Right, from her account. Like, this is the thing. It's sophisticated investigating now. They'll pull those numbers, like that computer number, what is it called, your IP number or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll pull that. They'll pull the tie. I mean, they know when you, like, your passwords. I mean, they're going to, like, it's going to be pretty hard for her to say, I didn't do it. And then if there's anyone to corroborate the fact that this girl bullied that girl, say, yes, she was bullied, then it's, you know, there's no question.
Right.
You know, and the sad part is it's, like, we always talk about asshole babies. Like, it kills me because I bet if you go to her parents and ask them, you know, about this, they'll probably be like, oh, no. My daughter wouldn't bully. They just didn't like each other, blah, blah, blah. It was a misunderstanding. And it's like they don't accept the fact that they raised this. You person is the way they are. It's very, very seldom that a person is, you know, like this girl didn't kill the girl, so she's not like a sociopath. She's not like anything like that. But she is messed up in the head because she did bully her, you know. So it's like it's not like a freak accident as to why this kid turned out this way. It's probably because the parents, you know, spoiled this kid or entitled this kid and made her think, like, oh, you're the, you know, or whatever. Something went wrong in that household, and it's kind of sad. Because I know for a fact, a girlfriend of mine, oh, I'm glad we're talking about this. It's so funny. But she had her daughter, and her daughter's a cute kid, like cute, funny, bubbly, whatever. But anyways, her daughter must have gotten into a fight or gotten into something with this one girl. And she said, you know, this is parenting. You know, I might be mean, but this is parenting in 2013. And she posted this letter, and her daughter's name, she was like, hi, you know, such and such. I'm really sorry I was mean to you. I'm really sorry we got into a fight, and I'm very sorry if I was a bully. I'm going to be your friend from now on, and I hope you can forgive me for being mean to you. And, like, she straight had her daughter holding the picture and, like, posted it on Facebook and, like, tagged everybody in her class. and was like, you're not, she was like, I will not allow my daughter to be that kid. My daughter is not going to be that kid. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you're such a great mom. You're so, it's funny because she and I used to be in that same theater class together, and now she's a teacher, and she teaches theater. And I was like, you're a great mom, you're a great teacher. Like, you're in the perfect position. Like, oh, my gosh. And we laughed because we ran into one of our old teachers, and we're like, that teacher really, really actually put us on the road to what we're doing. Like, that teacher really made me believe you could be an actress. You could be. This is before, you know, I met her in seventh grade, so this is before then, and she really made me go, you can actually do this. Like, she would take us to plays, she'd take us to ballets, and so I'm like, it's so amazing that now she's not only a mom who's really strict, but she's also a teacher, and if she saw another kid doing that, if she did it to her own daughter, you know she's going to do that to a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's not letting it go down. Like, you're not, she's like, my kid is not going to be that kid. She's not going to be that kid.
It's almost you got to fight fire with fire. You've got to, in a lot of ways, get down on the same level as these kids. These kids
mm-hmm.
arguing and fighting on Facebook, going back and forth, that's like their safety. I mean, like you said, I mean, do you think this girl would walk up to this other chick and, you know, say, oh, I'm happy that you're going to kill yourself to her face? I mean, come on.
Right.
You know.
Right, exactly.
They're hiding behind these screens and smartphones. But if you get down on their level, like you were just saying with your friend, posting that picture on Twitter, on Facebook, that's fighting fire with fire. That kid's
mm-hmm.
going to think twice
yeah.
again before doing anything like that because her mama would embarrass her.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy what kids are doing.
I love it. I love it. I think you got to do it. I mean, I agree. Mama,
oh, yeah.
if you have the fear of God for your mom, I really think you question what you would do. Like, I probably could have bullied somebody when I was a kid, but I was like, if I do something wrong and I get caught, my mom will kill me. So I didn't even think about bullying someone. If anything, I was like a goody two-shoes because I was like fearful of her. So I spent my life trying to impress her, you know?
Right.
Like, I was like, I'm not going to do anything
yeah.
wrong. I'm going to impress
yeah.
you, lady. You're going to love me.
Well, and like Topher and I were talking at the top of the hour about, you know, how much we think like the generations have changed in manners and respect have sort of gone out the window. But I can almost see where kids are sort of getting a mixed message. I don't know if you guys heard about this story, but up here on the East Coast near me, not too far away in Boston, a school actually is punishing one of their students for her helping her friend out. Listen to this. This blows my mind. 2 weeks ago, Erin Cox, who's an honors school student, she lives near Boston, she got a call from her friend who was too drunk to drive. So, I mean, you know, you get a call from your friend who's at a party, who's a little tipsy, you're going to want to go help him, right? You know, innocent enough. So she went to the party to help her friend, and shortly after, the police showed up, arrested a dozen kids, and gave citations for others. Now, even though Erin Cox wasn't drinking, and a police officer vouched for her sobriety in a written statement, her school charged that she violated its zero-tolerance policy. They punished her by demoting her from her position as captain of the volleyball team and suspended her for 5 games, all because she went to go help a friend.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy.
This is when it never pays to be a good person
because you're always going to get shot in the foot in some way. It doesn't pay to be a good person or to, you know, to go that extra step because 9 times out of 10, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot because you did.
No,
I
don't believe
pessimist.
That. I just think there's always this one time where people they're stupid. It's like, do you use common sense or do you just like where they're like, well, we got to stick to the book. We got to. It's like there's always a gray area, dumbass. Like, here's a kid. You should be giving her a medal. Like, she actually doesn't drink. She actually went. She actually tried to help, you know. Like, you should be giving her a medal. Like,
right.
I heard about this on the news, and they had this whole thing on the news, like, big deal or no big deal. And they were like, this is a big deal. Like, the town should, like, be in an uproar. They should flip out. They should make a big deal out of this because these kids are the ones that you want to aspire to be. Like, you want to aspire to be this girl, and you want to be able to know that if your friend were to call you and say, I am too drunk to drive, that you're going to go, you're not going to second-guess going to get them. But it's a matter of life or death. You know, like now the other kids are probably like, I'm not going to help nobody because see what happens? Like, you know, and that's pretty sad. That's pretty lame.
I mean, they're, and I think they're sending the wrong message.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the school. Like, I think they got, you know how it's almost like you give someone an inch and they take a yard? Like, it's like they're abuse of power. Like, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
This whole thing sort of outraged me quite a bit because, you know, on the one hand, you've got, you know, all these policies and whatnot in place to try to protect kids. Like you said, Karen, it's almost like, in a sense, they're like, oh, well, zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
When you thought this girl who clearly did the right thing, her parents have done, you know, clearly a phenomenal job raising her to be aware that, you know, hey, you help out a friend in need, you know. Pay it forward.
Right.
And now she's getting punished like this? I mean, that's exactly what you said. I mean, something like this is going to happen again. I mean, come on. They're high schoolers. There's parties. There's drinking. So what's going to happen the next time someone's in trouble and they go to call their friend? The friend's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, man. I can't help you out. I get suspended.
Right.
Like, what type of message are we trying to send here?
Insane. I heard about it on the news, and I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Insanity. The principal should be written up. He should be stripped of his principalship and be, like, demoted to janitor for 5 days.
Oh, yeah. With a salary decrease.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, it just made, I mean, come on.
Crazy. Now, Karen, you're not a big drinker, are you?
I'm not. I'm usually the one who is I'm the best person to go out with because I am the designated driver. Like, I'll be like, I won't drink. I'll opt out just to, you know, get my friends home. You know?
Right.
So my friends love hanging out with me. But I do drink. Like, I'm not going to, I don't think I'm judging. I have a cocktail, and if I'm, you know, partying with people, I'll partake. So I'm not a non-drinker. It's just not my thing.
Right. Not into the heavy drinking. Have you ever been that person? Have you ever been that 4 o'clock phone call where, you know, the person on the other end's like, I have no idea where the hell I am, and I don't feel comfortable getting in my car. Would you be the person to hop in the car and say, I'll be there in 10 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it before. No question. Like it's one of those things where I'm like, I'd rather my friends call me, wake me up, bother me, than for me to get that phone call in the middle of the night or the first thing in the morning, finding out something horrible has happened. I've had a lot of friends, you know, have horrible accidents because of drinking. Horrible things have happened to them because they were drunk. Like, I mean, it's like, I think that's one of the reasons why I kind of always not done it. Like, I remember Toya was on the show yesterday or the day before saying something about she's got control issues, so she's never gotten drunk before. She drinks, but she's never gotten drunk. And I go, I think we're similar in that way. I've gotten drunk before, but I'm surrounded by friends, and I've already planned how we're getting home. Like, I've already figured it out. But I'm not that person. Like, I've got control issues to the point where I'm just not going to let it go down because I'm like, oh, no, you know.
Right.
I don't
want to
be in that position.
Are you that person? Who?
You guys, either one of you. Are you the guy to call at 4 a.m, I'm drunk, come get me?
I think Mr. Topher would do it.
I would, in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. I'd be pissed off at you because you make me put my contact lenses in at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I would come and find you. And then you'd hear it from me, but I think you respect a friend more because they thought that far ahead, even in their drunken state, that they
you know what, I can drive home and I feel like I'm okay, but I don't want to risk it, and let me call somebody. And for you to say no makes you the bad person. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I mean, how
for
can
you to say,
sure.
I'm sleeping. Why don't you call a cab? No, I'll be right there.
Right, for sure. For sure. In a lot of major cities, though, they'll have phone numbers or places you can call, you know, if you're too drunk. Like, there's, like, people who can come get you. I'm like, well, I don't want no stranger coming to get me.
Well, you know, that's right. One thing I got to say
but
I loved about New York City was the subway. Like, you could get smashed, and you could still throw yourself into a subway car and ride yourself somewhere. You know?
And you know
I'm
what?
Just saying.
That is the one town that every time I go to New York, I get, that's the times I can say I was wasted, like so drunk. Like, because I know we can stumble into a cab, we can stumble onto a subway. Like, I know it's all good. You know, the most
right.
is like you kind of got to watch your surroundings, you know, but usually, you know, I travel in packs, so I'm not really worried about somebody coming up to 10 of us, you know. But that
right.
is the one time, I could say that city in London, like any place that has good public transportation, I've been really drunk in.
London? No way. They did me dead wrong. I don't know how you can say that. They're dead wrong. they're freaking subway, or, you know, over there they call it the tube.
The tube.
That shit closes at midnight. All right? That's not cool.
But they've got decent cabs there. You can take a cab.
Yeah,
you can take a double
decker. Oh my God! I had to take a cab once, all the way back to my dorm. You know, we were probably a good 35-40 minutes outside of central London, and the tube was closed.
Right, you studied abroad, right? You were there for a bit.
Yeah, I was there for a bit. I did the study abroad, so I, you know, we had the whole campus thing was not right in the city. It was, you know, out further. It was like second to last stop on the tube. I think it was actually the blue line or the Piccadilly line or whatever it was.
Right.
But, yeah, so a 45-minute cab ride in American money, that shit cost me like $200. They did me dead wrong.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's like, and that's what hurts my feelings when you spend that money and you're like, oh, it's 20 pounds. It's really $40.
Yeah.
And you, like, you'll spend it like it ain't nothing because you're like, oh, it's just 20 pounds. Oh, it's 5 pounds. It's like, no, it's $40. It's $10. Like, don't be fooled.
I did that for the first probably week I was there. I would just double everything in my head, and then I kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, I can't keep doing this because otherwise I'm not going to enjoy myself. I need to not keep thinking that this beer is costing me $20. Then I did the opposite.
And it's not
and I was
cheap.
Just, you know, no, it's not. I
Why
did the opposite.
Not
I was just like,
trip?
Put it on the plastic. I'll worry about it when I get the bill. And then you get the bill, and it's like, exchange
double.
Rate conversion, international fund transfer fee, blah, blah, blah. You finally get to the bottom, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yes. London is not a cheap trip. London's gorgeous, though. Like, I will say, like, if you ever get a moment in your life to go, if you're going to go overseas and you've never been overseas, go to London because you can always jump on a train and hit Paris and hit Italy and hit, you know, you can kind of do it all. Because they're all kind of, they're not close, but it's easy to move around. In London, they speak English, so that's always a good thing. Because I've gone to countries that don't, and it's, like, really hard because they don't like Americans, and they don't want to help you. And eventually, they're, you know, you'll find somebody who will, but it's a little tough, you know, moving around. But London's
and you know
beautiful.
Who was just
clean.
Over there. You guys got to check out the our good friend, Steve Cardenas, was over there a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
he
was.
You got to check out his pics. He had a good time. I don't know if he made it to the ice bar or not, but I did message him and tell him if he had a chance and he could go to the ice bar.
I know. I have to wonder. It was him and Walter Jones. I was like, how did I get booked on that convention? I'm getting the convention. Not the conventions I'm going to are bad. I had a blast. But I don't get the London call. Like, what am I doing wrong with my life?
If you need to hire a new booking agent or something.
I know,
too.
Right? I need to do something. I'm like, why am I not on the London trip? Is what I need to know. Because that would be a good one. Like, I go to London, you go to a couple, you go to overseas a couple times, all of a sudden you got a free ticket.
Yeah.
Listen, if you were going to London, I would clear my schedule. And I would go. I don't care if I would have to sleep under your bed. I would go.
Right? Like, I would be like, come on, we're going to London. I know. I would love that. Because, you know, you'd probably go for a longer time because you'd be a little jet lag, and they'd probably get you there a day or two in advance, and they're going to pick you up. And, you
well,
know,
it's like
they're
a 14-hour flight. It's long.
Yeah. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as Australia. Like, Australia was pretty bad. It was pretty brutal. It was a long one. I can't remember what it was, but it's pretty bad. And they say, like, China. I've never been. China, Japan. I mean, those are, like, a whole day. Especially from over here, because I'm on the West Coast. Like, we got to go all the way across America. Then we go all the way. You're going to stop in New York, and then you go all the way across the world to the other side.
Well, wait, can't they just go the opposite way?
I don't think that.
I don't think you can fly
backwards.
Oh.
Really?
I mean, you can fly to Russia or something and then go?
I think it's further. Yeah. I think the distance is further. I think it's quicker to go via New York.
Because they're thinking about stops for you to fuel up, because it takes, I don't know, how it's like 3,000 miles to get from L.A. to New York. And then they put you on a different plane that's full, and then it goes across to London. So I think it's a 14-hour flight because it's a 7-hour flight from New York to Ireland. I know that. So it's probably a good 14-hour flight from L.A. to England or to London. And there's just no stops in the Pacific.
I think you're right. 14 hours.
Well, that would do it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be on a plane that was running low on fuel.
No. You give me some Xanax and let me sleep until you wake me up when we're there. I don't know if
you
gotta
now you sound like Mama. But
I have cabin fever.
Speaking of Mama, I wish she was here for this next one. This makes me think of Joe, because you guys know how upset Joe is with Halloween. Well, really quickly, there is a house in Oklahoma, in Mustang, Oklahoma, where they set up a scene outside of their house with a man who appears to be trapped underneath the garage door. Well, the scene apparently looks so real that people have been driving past the house and calling 911 thinking there is really someone stuck underneath the garage door.
I saw that video. That photo.
That's scary.
So it looks like there's a guy who's crushed under the garage door, and then it looks like somebody ran over another guy's head, and you just see, like, the body just kind of laying there with, like, the fake blood splatted on the tires and on the concrete and fake blood splatting on the garage door. I laughed so hard. I'm like, that is messed up. that's going one step too far.
Right. Like, great, like, kudos for the imagination, but gosh.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. I think what is precious about it is actually the quote from the homeowners. He says, "People think we went too far, and we're devil worshippers, and we must not be Christian folks," she said. "They've said all kinds of stuff, but we're normal. We love Jesus. We celebrate Halloween."
I love the fact that she found she had to clarify, "We love Jesus." Hey, go ahead. That's great. You know what's funny? Did you see that footage of the lady? I think she was one of the clerical people in the house, and she got on the mic, and they had to escort her out. She was like, "This country's going to hell. This country's going to hell. Jesus. We'd love to stuff like that."
I think it was.
I didn't understand who she, like, I was like, okay, yay for Jesus. Like, you know, I'm a Christian. But I'm like, who are you talking to? And what's going on? Like, why do we have to, and I didn't understand. Like, I missed the whole point of it. Like, I was like, I'm glad we got some, you know, some national press. Like, it was kind of hilarious, you know. She gets drug out of there. I didn't understand what the point was. Like, I still need a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching that clip, and I was like, this lady is making no sense. Yay, Jesus, but
yeah.
We're all going to go to hell, and everybody's going to die, and the world's going to end. And it's like, huh?
Yeah, I was like, what happened, girl? Let me know, girl. Do we need to run out of we need to get the holy water and the Bibles, and what we need to do. Like, I don't understand how, you know, getting 3 more months of not, you know, our government not crashing. I didn't understand who she was talking to, first of all. I just wanted to understand a little better, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's a couple more people who could have been Christians.
Yeah.
I think we're all crazy.
Well, there was, I don't know if you guys have seen the YouTube video, but it's apparently they found, it's a YouTube video, it's all over the place, where this town called Mobile, Alabama found a leprechaun. Or they thought they found a leprechaun. And they did a real life newscast, this news crew went to this town called Mobile, Alabama, and I swear, when there's a camera, the crazies come out, because
they do that. Like, you know that they actually do that. Like, there's been lawsuits put against news crews because they're like, you're racially profiling people. You won't talk to the educated person, but you'll talk to the crazy person, and you're like, you know, making us look bad, basically. But yeah, no, that's like, I gotta watch the video because I heard about that, and I was like, what? Is this real?
Yeah, you have to see the eyewitness drawing.
Yeah.
Karen, Mike, it was the funniest thing. It's like a stick figure. And they're playing with, like, I'm laughing, like, crying laughing. And these people are dead serious. But you're absolutely
wow.
right. They do profiling. Like Sweet Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Sweet Brown. You'll never forget
mm-hmm.
her. But they could have found somebody else. They could have found somebody
right.
else. But they're like, you know
I'm
what?
Sure there
We're
was somebody else.
Line.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some, but you know what? For them, they're like, oh, it makes for great TV. You know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she got a career out of it, but still, like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, come on. I'm sure there was someone else who could have described. I don't even like, that's the thing. We don't even know what Sweet Brown was talking about. I don't even remember what they were reporting on, but we remember her.
Oh, yeah.
We remember her. Like, to this day, I'm like, everybody has time for that? Like, that's, like, now our new saying. Like, everybody says it. Like, I say it at least once a week. I mean, come on. There's not twice.
Yeah. And, you know, with YouTube being so big, I mean, everything goes viral. So, you know,
uh-huh.
It may be a small news story, but the minute that they put it on the internet, the minute that it hits YouTube, everybody in the country, everybody in the world knows about this. So it's really free publicity. You know, it's a little exploitive, if you ask me. But but she got a career out of it. And that other guy, that Antoine Fisher, because that was a really good movie, Antoine Jackson. a little different.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. But that Antoine Jackson guy, where apparently we have a rapist in Linkin Park, and then he turned out with that whole big song. So, yeah, I say, Karen, you go a little bit crazy. I say, Mike, you go a little bit crazy. I'll go a little bit crazy, and whoever gets the fame first, share the wealth.
I'm in.
I know, and
let's
here's the thing. We're not crazy enough. We haven't come up with the crazy-ass idea. We're not brave enough to put out a sex tape. We're not crazy enough to, like, get on YouTube and be a sensation. We got issues, guys. I think we're falling
Listen,
short.
All it's going to take is a camera, some crappy lighting, some cucumber vodka, and someone that's halfway decent looking,
oh,
and you got yourself a sex tape.
Oh,
Good
God. Time. All we got to really do is get Mike drunk, and we'll be famous. Like, he will be famous, and we'll ride his coattail. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, you just got a videotape for 24-hour period. It's going to go from happy, angry, sad,
happy, hungover, sad, angry, happy. Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
So it's my day in the seven dwarf emotions is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Exactly. Oh, man. You know what, guys? The compass time, we have no time left. That's the show,
no,
guys.
No,
so please follow us on Facebook. Please go to our new website page, myuncensoredradio.com, that was redone fabulously by Mr. Mike J. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Have a
check
great
it out,
night, everybody.
Mama shot some videos. Take it easy, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Bye, guys.